You are listening to a reflection on the lectionary texts by John Vandalar, presented by Dr. Veronica Dick on Sunday, July 17, 2016, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the Church Board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
The scripture readings from today are from the lectionary, and I would like volunteers. Would somebody please volunteer to read the passage from Amos? Andre, thank you.
This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, said the Lord, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this. You that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small, and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it.
Thank you. And hence the basket of summer fruit at the front of the chapel. Would somebody please read Psalm 52? Kevin, thank you.
Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, see, the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because of what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good.
Thank you. The next reading is from Colossians 1. Who can I? Catherine.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, And through him, God was pleased to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me.
Thank you. And finally, the passage from Luke, Paul.
Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she went to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
Thank you. This week, the lectionary readings are all about listening to God's word and to living it out in compassion, integrity, and justice, which requires listening to others. This can be harder than it sounds with all the noise that bombards us each day. That's why the discipline of worship is so important. It gives us the time and space to learn the practice of listening well. In Amos, the prophet sees a vision of a basket of ripe fruit, which God explains indicates that Israel is ripe for judgment. Amos then prophesies God's judgment against the corruption of God's people and the famine of hearing God's word that is to come. David in the psalm speaks a word of judgment against Doeg, proclaiming that he will be punished for his lies, while David will prosper under God's care. Paul in Colossians celebrates Christ as the visible image of God, the creator and reconciler of all, and describes his ministry of proclaiming the good news that leads us into relationship with God. And finally, in Luke, Jesus is welcomed into the home of Mary and Martha. While Martha serves, Mary sits at Jesus' feet, and he refuses to chide Mary for this, as Martha requests. Truth and lies, prophecies and the silencing of prophecy, sitting at Jesus' feet or serving, Christ as the image of God, and the gospel as the saving message that reconciles us with God. This week it's all about God speaking and the question of whether we will listen or not. As tempting as it might be, based on the gospel reading, to create a dichotomy between listening and serving, hearing and doing, the other readings don't allow us this. Listening to God's word is inextricably connected to following God's way of justice, truth, and compassion. Perhaps Jesus simply wanted Martha to listen before she acted, rather than assuming she knew what needed to be done. Not only are ordinary things powerful in the work of God's reign, it is as we listen to God's message and implement God's saving, reconciling word through simple acts of justice, compassion, and a commitment to truth and integrity, that we find ourselves living out the reality of God's reign in our lives and in our world. So broadly, words used as propaganda, mere rhetoric, or to inspire, are a massive feature of today's media-driven world. So many messages call us to label certain individuals or groups in certain ways. So many speakers claim to have the final word on certain situations or problems. So many speeches give little more than doublespeak, finger-pointing, or denial of responsibility. And in all the words, little actually changes. Lives are not saved. Injustice is not exposed and removed. Peace is not created, and solutions are not found to our big crises. One could be forgiven for thinking that we are living in the times Amos spoke about, a famine of God's word. But God's word is not absent. It has not changed since Jesus lived it and preached it. The essential message of the gospel, integrity, compassion, and justice, has not changed or been silenced. All that is required is for those of us who follow the message of Christ to speak up in words that are supported by accompanying actions, to challenge the empty words of our time and call our leaders and our peers to account. But we cannot do this unless we are prepared to be held to our own standards. It is all too easy in our personal lives and in our communities to decide that we know what is needed and what is to be done without taking the time to listen. It is all too easy to speak without taking the time to carefully and prayerfully, to hear carefully and prayerfully what God's message for us really is, or what the stories of those we seek to serve really are. If we are to be a people who bring Christ's grace and justice into our communities, we will need to listen carefully and then act justly, compassionately, and with integrity in response. We will need to avoid the temptation to assume we know what our communities need, and we will need to resist the urge to see ourselves as saviors coming to fix things for those who need us. Rather, we will need to adopt the humility of Mary, the commitment of Paul, the integrity of Amos, and the faithfulness of David as we come alongside the people within and outside of our churches and speak in listening and word and action the gospel message of Christ. These words are from John Vanderlaar. I can give you the reference if you are interested.